A quick hello and we're good to go. Welcome to the show, Joe Pulizzi.
I'm very happy to be here with you today. How about that?
I love it when the guests sing back. That's brilliant. Thank you.
I don't get an opportunity to sing on my podcast, so I'll sing on yours.
Oh, you can sing it again at the end. I'll do the outro song and I'll
do that too. Yeah, that's brilliant. Let's do it. So people will stay till the end now.
Yeah. You got that one straight away. Boosting traffic and newsletter conversions with content. What I love about this is last time we talked about content, and this time we're focusing on how to get people to your newsletter, which is the focus of the last couple of weeks. How can we make the newsletter a business-driving piece of media?
Yes.
And at Calicube, I have built the company, and I realize it now talking to people like yourself and Kevin, that I've built it on things that I think are fun, that reach out to people who are a great audience, but we don't actually drive the business. That's why you're here.
Yeah. I mean, that's what most companies do. So, I'd love to talk about that. You want me to get into it now? Because I'm going to wait.
That was very rude of me, and I do apologize. But there's a structure, and my team get annoyed with me when I don't follow the structure. So the structure is we start with your brand SERP. And this is what I wanted to show, is when we search your name, we get the knowledge panel, which I love. I love knowledge panels. This is my thing. This is what Calicube does day in, day out, helping people and companies with their presence on Google, including the knowledge panel, which is knowledge in Google's brain. And there we have Joe Pulizzi, entrepreneur, overview books about Google knows who you are, and it knows who are your peers. And that's a pretty good list of peers, I would say, for you, including our friend, mutual friend, Rand Fishkin, because you, me, are one hop away from each other thanks to Rand. We can see here, if you click on Rand, this is what you get, and I'm in his peer group. I'm not in yours, but I am in his.
So instead of Kevin Bacon, it's Rand Fishkin. I like
100%.
It. Perfect.
You spotted it right off the bat. We actually have the knowledge panel hopping game, and it's actually the Kevin Bacon game, and I've done a video about that. And we have a feature in Calicube Pro, our SaaS platform for agencies for managing knowledge panel, and it's the Kevin Bacon game for optimizing knowledge panels, and it's so much fun, and it's hugely powerful. And that's what we've done for Joost de Vault, Lily Ray, Bill Hartz, Dixon Jones, Christian, and I'm afraid I can't read his second name, who have all used the Calicube tool, the Calicube platform, to optimize their own personal knowledge panel. And these people are super experts in Google things, and yet they still use Calicube, which shows how, in my opinion, Calicube Pro is so powerful. That was my self-promotion.
That's okay, because I see it right off the bat. I know you're going to talk about it, but I looked at, of course, preparing for this show. I looked at my about section, and I'm happy with all the results. The results on the left side is great. My about, I even had to send a little piece of feedback because it's so outdated. So I want to hear your wisdom on how I can fix my about section.
Right. Well, you've got an about from Google Books, and that's a really interesting question. And I will try to get onto your topic really quickly, but I'll quickly explain that Google Books is what we call a dominant source. If you have a Google Books profile or a Wikipedia profile, that will always dominate the About section. So the only way to change it is to edit the Google Books or Wikipedia.
Got it.
And editing it directly is impossible. Sorry to say that.
What do you do?
Well, we figured it out. We figured it out last year. How to change that description, and it's basically feeding information to Google Books indirectly through a third-party source. And that's part of what we do at Calicube Pro, is we experiment on ourselves and our partners, our friends, and the cartoon characters that I created many years ago. And we've done 1,000 experiments, over 1,000 experiments, to figure out this kind of thing so that when people get stuck with their knowledge panel, we can tell them exactly what needs to be done, and we don't mess it up for them. And we get the changes they want. And the Google Books one was a sticky, thorny problem that I could only figure out how to solve once I'd published my own book, which was 2 years ago. And now I'm going to publish a second book, and we're going to figure out more things about Google Books. But Excellent. That's not the topic for today.
Okay. Well, so offline, you sold me. I'm already sold. Like, I want to fix that problem.
Oh, I can tell you. Offline, I will tell you. It's one of those things, and the reason I don't share it is simply because people tell me afterwards, that's so simple, so obvious, it's not worth any money. But it is worth money because we figured it out. We spent years figuring it out, and it's that thing that if you know it, you can do it. If you don't know it, you will never do it. So this is my secret.
So everyone has to wait. That's okay, but thank you for calling attention to it.
I'm actually going to do a podcast where I will explain all of these things. Okay. So it's only a secret for a little while. I'm not the kind of person who doesn't share. I'm the kind of person who has been taught by my team to share when it's appropriate. And that's a great lesson to learn.
Very good.
But we're not talking about that. And we've already done 6 minutes and we haven't even got into boosting traffic and newsletter conversions. You are listening to Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard. Now, back to the show. So we're coming at this from a point of view of content. How or what content do I create to boost my traffic to my newsletter landing page and ensure that the people who get to that page convert?
Sure. Now I can go. Now yes. I'm on.
Your turn. Excuse me.
So, well, the first thing, so we're talking to mostly B2B audiences, and we all know that if you're a B2B company, you might have 6 to 9 different buyer personas, if you will. And here's the difficult part. If you have a newsletter, you have to choose which audience you're trying to target, which most B2B companies don't. When they create a newsletter, they make it broad because they want it to be for all their personas. And that is a huge mistake. You water it down and it's good for nobody. So what you want to do is you have to choose. So let's say you have different vertical pages. That whatever vertical page for that particular target audience, that's the page that newsletter goes on specifically to that persona's audience needs and has something valuable for that person. So I mean, we call it looking at your content tilt. Your content tilt is a differentiation area that you create, some kind of a hook that you can break through all the other content clutter out there. So I want people listening to this to think, okay, who's my audience and what theme, what's my mission statement? What's my editorial mission that I'm going to deliver on and keep that promise to that audience all the time? I would say, Jason, 97% of B2B companies don't do this. And that's why nobody subscribes to their stuff.
Right. We have this problem. So we've aimed at, let's say, 9 personas. And our first problem is we have 9 personas and I keep looking at them all and thinking they're all interesting. I don't know which one to focus on. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is, as you said, we're trying to hit all the targets. So we're hitting none of the targets. Do we need 9 different newsletters?
Don't go that far because you're not there yet. What you want to do is figure out what's the business problem you're trying to solve for. Right now, we're not even talking about a newsletter. We don't want to jump to, I need a newsletter. No, we don't. What we want to do is, what's the business problem? Do you want more loyalty to your certain products? Do you need more sales in this certain category? Whatever it is. Okay, great. That's the business problem that we're going to solve for. And then you might come to the decision that a newsletter would help us do that. So that's the tactical part to solve the strategy. So just start there. And then you figure out, okay, well, I want to sell more products and services in this area. That goes to this persona. And then you build the newsletter around that. We're not going to even think about the other 8, 10, 12 different business problems you have. We're just going to focus on that one. And we're going to do a really good job delivering consistently a differentiated message and delivering value over a long period of time. And then you're going to put it in all the right places, wherever that customer goes on your website, whatever the particular blog post that you create specific to that persona, your main call to action is always going to be the newsletter. Because again, a lot of B2B companies don't realize this. They're not looking at your page and they're not buying right away. It generally takes 7, 8, 10 different touches. So you want to get them in through, let's say they come through search, they go on this great piece of content. Oh, what's next? What's next is you have this amazing call to action download piece that with that they get your newsletter that you can then nurture them over time and get them to a point where they're ready to buy.
Right. Okay. So what's the call to action you put on the pages where that persona isn't likely to land? I.e., you've got landing pages for all 9 personas. The other 8, what's your call to action?
Well, I'm understanding. So you don't necessarily yes, could you have a newsletter? You could, but right now we have no good newsletter. We have a broad newsletter. We want to create one, fix one. And on the other page, you could have white paper, ebook, book, whatever, a resource center. It doesn't always have to go to. I like the let's say the ebook or a white paper or research that leads to the newsletter, because it makes perfect sense to people. It's like, oh, I just read this thing. Oh, I want to get more information, download the thing. And then you're going to update me on going to that problem or that specific set of informational needs that I have. So that's all we're focusing on right now. And this is the thing, right? You have content strategy is about saying no to many, many, many things. So you can say a big emphatic yes to one thing. We're going to say no right now to those other 8 personas. So we can say a rousing yes, that this newsletter project will work to that one. And you can show at the end of the day, oh, here's my key performance indicator. Here's we're getting the leads in. We're nurturing. It's working. Great. Done. Now we'll move on to persona 2.
Right. So that was my next question, is then we build persona by persona and we don't try to do it all at once, which is what is so tempting.
So if you look at a great example is a company like an Arrow Electronics. Now, this is a big billion-dollar company, but it's a B2B electronics company. They sell a lot of different equipment to a lot of different electronics engineers. They have 27 different content brands because they have 27 different personas that they're going after. This is a company that's been around for a long time. They've done it organically and through acquisition. This is like pro. Yeah, you know, this is how the pro would do it. So we're not a pro yet. We got to start with one. At some point, you might have a portfolio of content brands, which might all be newsletters. It might be a print magazine in there. There's a documentary in there. There's an ebook series. It's a webinar series. It's not always a newsletter, but in this case, we're talking about a newsletter. So we just have to start somewhere. And even if you look at Red Bull Media House, the poster child for content marketing, they just started with one thing, Red Bulletin Magazine in 2005. And that's all they had for the first 6 years. Well, now they've got, I don't know, 30 different content brands targeting all sorts of different things around sports and lifestyle, but we're not there yet. And I think a lot of B2B companies want to go to the end, and you have to start at the beginning.
Yeah, well, we've made that mistake 100%. Now, I've got a question about content brand. You keep saying content brand.
Yes.
Can you define that, please?
Sure. So you and I have our personal brand, right? I have Joe Polizzi, you have Jason Barnard. We do things around that personal brand. I have a company before I sold Content Marketing Institute. So we have the company is Content Marketing Institute. We had a separate content brand as part of that called Chief Content Officer Magazine. That was a separate content brand that only targeted chief marketing officers. So let's talk about newsletters, because this is the whole point about our conversation. So you, Jason Barnard, have your personal brand. Your Calicube is your company brand, correct? That's your overall business company brand. Is it the Calicube newsletter, or is it something about B2B? It's called B2B Brand SERPs.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a horrible brand name, but let's say brand. Let's say, that is your content brand. So if you think about a media company, the New York Times has 60 different little bitty content brands that are all their newsletter names. It's a different thing. So you treat it differently. So a lot of B2B companies do, and which I think they do incorrectly, they say, oh, great. It's just the XYZ company blog or the XYZ company newsletter. You know what? Nobody cares. What we want to do is we want to focus on this. We have an opportunity with this content brand to focus on the specific needs of this persona. So call it something from an editorial standpoint. Call it something like Chief Content Officer Magazine. Call it something like Brand SERPs in B2B so that people know it's for them, because Calicube is a totally different mission in and of itself. Your content brand has a content mission that's separate.
Ooh, I love that. I mean, that for me is just completely changed my perspective. My brain's going round and round and round in circles, obviously not making any huge decisions right now, but certainly the title B2B Brand SERPs or B2B Reputation Management then would be followed by personal brand reputation management and agency brand reputation management or something. I mean, and each persona or each, yeah, each persona for the products would then need their own content, brand, mm-hmm. and strategy, which is clearly labeled and designed to be visibly and contently, if we can say that, aimed at them.
That's so here's, you're exactly right. Here's another good example I thought of. So CDW, Global Electronics B2B Company, another one. So they have many, many different verticals. They have education, they have business, B2B, straight on B2B, and government. And so they have, and it, they have a theme around their content brands. It's CDW, EdTech, BizTech, and GovTech. There's a very similar feel. You know, it all comes from the same family, but every magazine, it's a print magazine that they publish, has different content, different feel, different editorial director, different audience, different mission. So that's where you would do, you'd say, oh, we're going to do B2B brand reputation, and then we're going to do personal reputation. Then we're going to do reputation for agencies. They all have a same feel, but they're all different content brands because they target different people. And there's not a lot of overlap there. So as you maybe take your newsletter strategy out and you're like, oh, I did the first one, then you sort of know the formula once the first one works. And you say, oh, now I've got a portfolio of content brands all under Calicube.
Which is super brilliant. And if we start with a newsletter, we've got that for one content brand, but then for another content brand, as you said earlier on, it might not be a newsletter, it might be a podcast, but a newsletter would almost always be behind it because that's the way to retain contact and communication with the audience.
Well, I'm biased to newsletters, and I have been for 20 years doing this because as we grow our audience, whether we get found in search engines like Google or whether we are on X Twitter or whether we're on Facebook or TikTok or YouTube or whatever, we're building our audiences there. We have no control over those audiences. We have no control over the algorithm. They could kick us off at any point. So whatever we do on those, it's like we wake up, we're like, great, we still have access to those. We should be happy. How can we make sure that we mitigate risk? We mitigate risk through an email property so that when somebody signs up to that email, which we can have as the call to action on every one of those other things I talked about, we have some control over distributing that to that audience. So that's why still the name of the game with all this in content marketing is at the end of the day, can you get an opt-in subscriber so that you yourself can control that communication a little bit more than Meta and Apple and everyone else that wants to keep control for themselves.
Yeah, we all want to keep control, and we have to remember that the companies that are offering us this immense audience, they're making that exchange by saying, bring me content, I will allow you access to the audience, but the audience belongs to me, belongs in a very...
I always say, like, wake up and you're just like, wow, we have access to another free tool, but tomorrow we might wake up and it's gone. So what do I need to do today to make sure that that audience moves away, or like I can share that with Facebook, with Apple, with Amazon, whatever, and move it over into my own newsletter?
100%. And one thing that struck me about newsletters, somebody on the show, and I'm afraid I can't remember their name, pointed out to me that out of 100% of people who are potentially interested in your product or service, only 10% will buy today, and the other 90% will buy sometime in the next couple of years or whatever the time frame is. And the newsletter is the best way to retain that communication with them.
I totally agree with that. I couldn't agree with them more. I've been in B2B since 2000. I started in B2B publishing, and we know that in most buying cycles take months, if not years. So what do you do? Like, if they just, you're not going to sell something right away, no matter what you do, you're not, you're going to have multiple touches. You're going to have to bring multiple value, build that relationship over time. How do you do that with a consistent communications piece? And today we're just talking about a newsletter. You could do that through a print magazine. You could do it through a webinar series. You could do it through live events. You could do it through lots of ways. But probably the most efficient way to do it would be with an email newsletter, as long as you send it consistently. And I would say consistency means at least every 2 weeks. And a lot of B2B companies don't like that. But if you send it about monthly, sometimes they think it's so infrequent, they'll think you're spamming them, or they'll forget it or get lost in their inbox. So you want to make sure you show up with value consistently over a long period of time. And then, great news, when they're ready to buy, you're right there. It's wonderful. And then you can also advertise for your products and services around this amazing content you're sending them to remind them that you have products and services that they might want to buy.
Right, which is wonderful. And so now what we have is 9 personas, each with their own content brand funnel that pulls them down into the newsletter so that we can maintain communication with them over time, so that when the 90% are ready to buy, we're in front of them, front and center, top of mind. So you're saying that we need 9, in our case, 9 different funnels.
You could. You absolutely could. You. But again, it might be a different solution. I remember when we had this conversation at Content Marketing Institute, do we create a separate newsletter for the senior level group, or do we do something different? We felt this is back in 2007, so 8, whatever. Yeah. So print was still a big force. Probably wouldn't make this decision today, but we said, let's do a quarterly print publication to these people. We want them to read it, and we want them to tell their staff about this thing called content marketing and get their staff to come to Content Marketing World. It worked really, really well. So it doesn't have to be the same thing. It could be it could be a webinar series to a different group of people, right? All I'm saying is that it needs to be consistent communication, valuable, compelling, differentiated over time. An email newsletter is one way to do it. Yes.
Super duper. Now, question about the content for these content brands that boost traffic and make sure that people who get to the newsletter landing page in our particular scenario convert. What are the rules? And I'm putting rules in inverted commas here for people who can't see me, who are listening to the podcast. What are the rules for creating content that makes sense for boosting traffic and making sure the right traffic gets to the newsletter landing page?
Well, basics are, who's your audience? What keeps them up at night? What are their pain points? And then at the same time, the other side is, what's your expertise area? What are you bringing to the table? That's how you build your content mission. So I would spend a lot of time on that. A lot of B2B companies are like, oh, let's just send it. We'll do this article from Dave and this one from Sally, and we'll put it in there and we'll blog over here, whatever. And it's sort of all over the place. And they just take a bunch of content and put it in. When you create a newsletter, it's a show. It's a show just like you'd see on television. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so what's the beginning? What's the hook in your newsletter? What's the middle? What's the end? How do you keep them going through the whole thing? And it should be something that they can't get, at least part of it, something they can't get everywhere. So you just pulling stuff off your site and you're going to throw it in there and great. Well, there might be some positives about curation, but like with my Joe Polizzi newsletter, that's a newsletter that is just for those people that subscribe to that newsletter. And I send it to them every 2 weeks, very deliberate about it. I know that audience really well. I'm sending them things that they want. They reply back to me. It works really, really well. And so I want to make sure that I know what those pain points are and I do it differentiated. So figure out what your thing is. There's lots of great newsletters out there, morning brews out there, but you'll know that they all have, here's what we do in the beginning, here's what we do in the middle, here's what we do in the end, and then figure out how your show is going to work. And then once you do that, then you go ahead and find the content creators for it. You have some internally, you have some externally, but you want to make sure that when you say, I'm going to create this piece of content for this part of the newsletter, let's just say it's a full article. A lot of B2B companies get focused on, we want to talk about this product in this newsletter. You have to stay away from that. What you want to make sure is that when you create that piece of content, you want to focus on the outcome for the audience, not for the company, not for you. So this article is going to be read by this reader. And what do you want that reader to do? Do you want them, you're helping them get a better job, live a better life, do a process better? Focus on that, just like you do with, search engine results with blogs. What's the goal in it for the reader? We want to focus on that for the newsletter as well. And then once you get that feel, that beginning, middle, and end going, you put it in the right places where that customer is going to be. And this is scary because a lot of B2B companies, they hide their newsletter. It's very hard to find it. It's in the resource section. It's down at the bottom in a link. No. Every piece of content that they're going to hit on your site, I want the number one call to action to be that newsletter, not the product actually. Because I know for the most part, they're not going to buy that product today because if they're on an informational page, they're gathering information. So give them information. Don't distract them and say, oh, no, you got to buy this right now. They're not going to, right? So give that, make sure that it's there. If you go to my Joe Polizzi site, you'll see, oh, Joe Polizzi, the first call. My goal with that site is to get and keep subscribers. That's it. You will see the call to action on almost every page is, even though I've got books and speaking and lots of other, and events like Content Entrepreneur Expo that I want them to go to. But no, we're, all I'm focusing on right now is if I get them set up as a subscriber, put that, and that's the call to action. Keep them as a subscriber. And then once they become a loyal audience, then I can say, hey, oh, by the way, here's a product I have. Here's my book. Here's the event. That's what I want.
Which makes total sense for me. And it's, once again, something that we're not doing particularly well at, or well at all at CaliCube. The idea of an end intrigues me. Do you mean the end of the series of newsletters that they get? Or do you mean the end of the one newsletter where they've got to start, a middle, and an end?
The end, I mean the end of the newsletter. The end of the, there, theoretically, there's no end to the newsletter. Like, right. Some people believe in series, you know, like you're on Netflix and you subscribe to a series and it has 8 episodes.
Yeah.
That's fine. If that's what you do and you're going to do 8, but I don't, that's not content marketing to me. Content marketing, it goes on forever. You adjust, you figure out new pain point, audience changes their needs, whatever, but it goes on forever and ever, just like a media company. The Financial Times doesn't do a series. Okay. They don't do 8 issues and then they're done. They go on forever. They adjust to their audience's needs. So you have a hook in the beginning to get them, a middle is like the core of the content of the newsletter. And then the end is, and if you go to our Tilt news, the tilt.com newsletter, you'll see at the end, we have, here's like 5 calls to action. Right. Check out this podcast here. Here's an event over here. You need, here's an ebook. Here's research. That's our end. They're like little quick bits and calls to action to help them. So that's what I would think about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so that's now much clearer for me. The beginning, middle, and end for each newsletter that you send out. But the newsletter in and of itself is a never-ending series of helpful information that brings value and solves problems.
But that's a really good question, because most B2B marketers will think about these types of initiatives as campaigns.
Yeah.
Now, a campaign is something that stops at some point. E-newsletters do not stop. They continue on. It is not a campaign. Like, we love we love political campaigns, right? Because political campaigns stop, thankfully. At some point, it's over. With content marketing, you want them to continue. As long as you're fulfilling those informational needs and expectations, you're doing something really good for the business and for the individual.
This all makes absolutely total sense. And once again, and I love this with the CaliCube Tuesday series and the with Jason Barnard podcast, is I always realize how wrong we're doing things, and we can immediately come back and start correcting how we're working. And that's why we invite people like you, Joe. That was absolutely brilliant, because it taught me so much. And Joanne, Katrina, and Marielle are going to get so much out of this. I've already got ideas. And that's one of the reasons that I'm looking a bit confused, is I'm thinking about what we can do, how it all fits into our system. And it is 9 personas, and we need 9 funnels, and we need to figure out who we're focusing on for each one, and the newsletter cannot serve them all. Absolutely brilliant. I've got the last question for you.
Sure.
Which is, how does audience-focused content help with branded search? You've got 1 minute.
I would say the answer to that question is really about focus, and you use that. I think where a lot of B2B companies go wrong is they decide that they need to be the expert in multiple things to one audience in particular. And I think it's, when you're starting this out, that's a mistake. So focus on, for a particular audience that you're targeting, what do you want to be known for specifically? And this started for me. And when I started in 2007, I said, I want to be the leading expert in this thing called content marketing. And that worked really well for me. And if you type in content marketing or Joe Polizzi, you'll see that it's worked very, very well. So don't get overwhelmed with all the things that you need to cover. Say, for this audience, if I had a wish on one thing that I could be known for, one thing that I could be the leading expert in the world, focus that on with your team. That could be the name of your newsletter. It could be the name of your content brand. It could set like you forward with all your content strategy moving forward on that. And that might be enough to change your business for the better. So I would say it's all about focus and content. Don't boil the ocean. Focus on being great at one thing.
Brilliant. Absolutely wonderful. Very difficult to do, but
very difficult to do. Takes time, but it's possible.
Because we're all human and we think, oh, I can do all of these different things. And it's so difficult to say, well, I could do all of those things, but if I do one thing incredibly well, I'm going to serve myself better and my audience better. That's or rather right, exactly the other way around, right. I will serve my audience better and that will serve me better. Thank you so much. Absolutely brilliant. We're going to pass the baton to next week, which is how to turn content into profit, video, content, and six levers of profitability with Louis D. Camejo. Oh, Camejo. Excuse me, I got that wrong. It's absolutely wonderful. I met him in Orlando a couple of weeks ago, and I believe you did too, Joe.
I did, and I'm so excited you're going to have Louis Carmejo on. I had no idea how prolific this gentleman was. You're going to love his video tips. One of the leading video experts out there. And so I'm so happy. I'm going to pass the baton to Louis. Get it done, my friend.
Brilliant. That's the first cup or mug baton we've ever had.
Yeah, it's difficult when you're actually running and you're passing a cup. You got to be careful. The bad things can happen.
Especially if it's got hot coffee in it. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you, everyone, for watching. That was wonderful. You get the outro song. A quick goodbye to you and the show. Thank you, Joe.
Jason, it's been so much fun. I'll see you in a couple of years and do it over again.
Nobody's sung back the same melody with different words. You're a genius, my friend. Calicube. It's all about your brand, SERP.